Welcome to the Listics AFL podcast, where we analyse AFL list building, free agency, trade and the draft. We're also working to help everyone achieve their best possible mental health, and we'd like to acknowledge our podcast partners, Beyond Blue.
If you're feeling low, anxious, or you need to talk to someone, please contact the team at Beyond Blue. You can call them anytime on 1300 22 46 36, or visit them at the website at www.beyondblue.org.au.
Now, without further ado, I'm John Van Norden.
And I'm Sean Lewis, and it's Listics podcast time.
Part two, Shawnee. I went to get food on, was it Saturday at lunchtime? And we're back on Wednesday.
Yeah, you were dying for food.
I've eaten a lot since then. So you'd be glad to know that at least my blood sugar is back up.
To be honest, mate, I'm surprised you've eaten. I actually thought you were gonna, you know, hold off until we started again, and you're gonna ask to go eat in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, mate. And it's been some good changes since the last pod. I got the jab. The restrictions have been dropped for people under 40, and you're booked in. So it's moving.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction, so that's a nice sign. So I think it's funny. I probably don't know many people who aren't going to get the jab. Now that it's fully open, which is great.
Yeah, huge push in the last 24 hours, really. As soon as it's opened up, to take more bookings, and it'd be great to get as many people through as we can. A few things changed as well in terms of the list. So there's been a couple of announcements of re-signings for clubs that we haven't covered off yet. So we'll cover them off on the way. But we want to kick off where we were, where we left off, and that was with Hawthorn out of contract. Do you want to take us away?
Yeah, mate. Hawthorn out of contract. So I guess... they haven't announced. I'm just reconfirming they haven't announced anyone apart from, so it's Burgoyne, Patton, and Scully have all retired. So,
yep.
They got a fair few out of contracts. Hawthorn obviously offers a new coach coming in Sam Mitchell plenty of flexibility to shape the list. We've kind of got a couple of different players to talk about. So we'll probably start off with Finn McGuinness and Lachie Bramble. So I'm surprised they're both out of contract. I expect Bramble to be signed up pretty quickly. I believe Sam Mitchell actually helped in scouting him.
Okay, yeah, I think that you're right that he'll get signed up pretty quickly. I can't see that one dragging on.
Yeah, and Finn McGuinness looks you know, like he's got something to offer. You know, potentially, whether it's a one or a 2 year deal. Usually, it's a two at this stage. Give him a chance to show his wares, and I guess, you know, like we said with a lot of these guys, that you know, there's been a lot of interruptions for them in the last few years, and you know, where Hawthorn's trying to build itself, you know, they need to be trying to find the under 23 bracket.
Yeah.
And start that list build, which, you know, also ties in with a guy like Jackson Callow, who they picked up as an SSA. Now, I thought that this year's SSAs were being signed to 18-month contracts potentially, but I might be wrong in that. Or there might have been a suggestion to provide some surety for guys who get picked up and dropped 6 months later.
But, yeah, I think there's potentially some financial assurities around it, but I do believe he's out of contract. I would give him another year at least or two if they've seen a bit more.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's someone we really rated in the draft last year, and a little bit shocked he didn't go, if I'm honest. And you know, kids like him and Kane Baldwin and stuff, you know, I think they're worth the punt for clubs because they're, you know, they're big key position players. They take a bit longer, and look, all you have to do is look at Hawthorn's got a great example. They took a pick 74 in Mitch Lewis, who's reasonably handy.
Like, yeah.
I'm not saying he's a world beater. He's not, you know, he's not the next Buddy or anything, but he's certainly a reasonable quality player.
He could hold down a key position post at an AFL club.
Yeah. And with Callow, I definitely see that style of player. He attacks the ball quite well. So it's a group of three players that we want to talk about together because these guys are in an awkward position with Hawthorn in the list spot they're in. So that's Harry Morrison, Oliver Hanrahan, and James Cousins.
Yeah.
I guess they've all been on the list for 5 years. None of them are free agents. None of them are probably on massive coin. I guess, what are you doing with them? Like, they're at that awkward stage where they're probably 23, 24, and, you know, this is the part of the list that might get turned over.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's probably going to be a hard decision. But, sorry, yawned. But what are you, like, what are you going to do with them? Like, as in, you give them all a one-year deal. Are we going to be in a different position in 12 months? I mean, probably that happened with Dan Howe. So Dan Howe had probably shown more upside, though, in terms of his roles as a tagger in the years prior. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that they'll find it hard. If I was Sam Mitchell coming into a new squad that is going through a rebuild, I would take an opportunity to sort of clean out this middle part of the list and just take more picks to the draft.
Yeah. So they've got, Cousins is 23 and 5 months with 34 games. Harry Morrison is 22 and 9 months with 56 games. And Ollie Hanrahan is 22 and 11 months and 28 games, but he's on the rookie list.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how long he's been on the rookie list, but
I mean, you only got so many list spots, and if you're choosing between keeping Callow or one of those three, you're probably picking Callow, just because he's got more time to see whether he can develop into that type of player, and we've seen a bit from those three, and I think that they at their best could be rotation players in an AFL side. But you probably got to be looking to go to the draft because you're looking for guys that are going to be best 18, hit or miss. That's fine at the draft. You get some that'll be clearly in there and some that won't. But you're probably going to have a better chance at striking that top 10, top 15, top 18 player than you will with these three.
Yeah. And just looking through their list. So, you know, Lockie Bramble's on their rookie list. So he can only be retained as a rookie for one more year. They've got Giath is on the rookie list as well by the looks of things. You know, he's one I'd be trying to make a list spot for.
Yep.
They've got Jai Newcomb who looks like a solid kind of AFL player.
You'd rather put another year into your Jai Newcomb types than these guys as well. Just give them more time.
I think probably, you know, one of them definitely stays on the list. And the other two either delisted or rookie extended. But yeah, I think James, who's played the most out of them? Morrison, probably.
Oh, I can't remember. You did just read it off, but you're right. One of them might end up.
So Morrison played 14 games this year, so you'd probably expect he.
Yep.
Probably gets retained. Tim O'Brien.
Yeah.
This is you know, I think we've cut him three times.
Tim O'Brien. I mean, you had Dan Howe on there as well. So Dan Howe gets re-signed. He's had a career best year. So probably gets 2 years. As an extension. But Tim O'Brien is such an enigma.
I thought you were going to use the word enigma.
He can do, well, not necessarily do the most spectacular things. He can do things that look like they're going to be spectacular and then not do them. And he can do some pretty special things. I think that he's probably like Mason Wood. That he looks like he could be an AFL player, but he's just not. He's not consistent enough. Now, Mason Wood found a home at St Kilda and played some games this year, may get an extension. But I think, like Mason Wood, if I was Hawthorn, I'd probably be making a call to try somebody else.
Yeah, it's a real tough one.
He's an RFA.
Yeah, I know. That's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Must like be he, on enough money to make him an RFA as well. So,
well, top, that's top RFA is top 25% of the list in your out of contract year. So,
yep.
You know, that's saying he's probably had a pretty fairly heavily back ended deal.
Yep.
I guess the thing with Tim O'Brien is the, you know, he's always that Mr. Fix-It, throwing forward, throwing back. And I guess without Sicily, he's been able to play a bit more back behind the ball. So I guess he's been able to show talents there. But he kind of reminds me, his career trajectory kind of reminds me a lot of Schoenmakers.
Yeah.
You know, where it's kind of that almost. And look, Schoe got to play grand final, I think. And, you know, had a pretty solid career. But O'Brien's at the kind of the point where with Hawthorn's list going down the other direction, they need to.
Yeah.
These are the people they probably need to make the tough calls on.
Sadly. Yeah, no, I agree.
But look, O'Brien could be handy for a club further up the ladder as well.
So. I think he gets a list spot elsewhere if he goes. But I just don't think that. I think for Hawthorn, they need to make that call. Moving on to the D's, mate. I'll let you take us through your D's. You've somehow added way more players that are interesting and out of contract than any other club. So I'll.
That's not true. No, Sydney's got the biggest list actually. So
okay. All right. Well, look, you've already dragged out this entrance. Let's get into it.
So, look, I've kind of grouped them. So, kind of Melbourne's got this weird kind of list profile where we've got, you know, a few veterans and quite a few of them have probably dropped out of the side this year. And then we've kind of got some non-veteran depth, so that kind of, you know, 26-year-old depth. And then we've got, you know, one in particular, big off-contract player this year in Sam Wiedemann. So Hibbard, Jones, Jetta, probably looking at, Nath Jones is probably going to retire, I would imagine, this year. Nev Jetta, I'd probably expect the same. He's kind of lost his spot. Michael Hibbard, I'd like to see them give him a one-year deal. I think he's played enough football this year. He has been forced out late in the year, but you know, the risk of losing too much experience for a side that probably wants to stay around the mark, which they will. I think you probably need to hold on to him. Aaron Vandenberg's another one. He's a bit younger, but, you know, he's just been crueled by injuries. 3 years ago, he almost went to Sydney. They signed him up on a reasonable deal, and he's played maybe like 15 games in 3 years. So,
yeah.
I think they'd probably re-sign him for depth as well. If he ever gets his body right, he's a best 22 player, but guys like Sparrow and stuff have probably overtaken him now. Then you've kind of got your tall depth, so Dorr, Marty Hoare, and Mitch Brown. And it's a really interesting one. Like, obviously, Magic Dorr hasn't played all year. These guys are all, you know, like if when Jake Lever went down, Marty Hoare came in. Now Marty Hoare's actually, I think, done an ACL, strangely enough. So I'd probably hold on to Marty Hoare. He's young enough that you can probably hold on to him. Mitch Brown and Magic Dorr, it really just depends on how you go this year. So if you genuinely assess Melbourne at the end of the year, and regardless of whether we win a flag or just bow out in straight sets. Depending on how they assess the list properly, will depend on whether they get contracts. They both offer value as depth, but, you know, are they taking up a list spot that we, you know, can we use a draft pick to fill it? You know, can we go, you know, take a Jackson Callow type, you know, to fill that spot instead? And then it probably also ties into the conversation around Sam Wiedemann. So
yeah, that's sort of where I see Mitch Brown, especially, is that if you lose Sam Wiedemann, then you sign Mitch Brown because he'll be your next in line.
Yeah, and I probably agree with that. And look, in Melbourne's defence, we probably sat there and thought we'd sneak Mac Andrew through. And we're probably not going to be able to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. It's probably not a conversation now, but I may as well just do it. I don't know if you heard, there was a podcast and they interviewed Jason Taylor, so Melbourne's list boss, about Mac Andrew. And he sat there and he said, you know, it's really unfair that, you know, they've, you know, kind of rushed this knee-jerk rule through because of Jamara.
Yep.
And, you know, this year we're going to miss out on Mac Andrew. And what he actually explained, which is something I didn't actually know, was that, you know, Mac Andrew came down to a Demons, never played footy much before, and came down to a Demons training session when he was 14 in the area. And then they've kind of supported him with the Daniel Stingrays all the way through. So, funnily enough, they've actually put in some work, unlike a few of the other clubs.
Yep.
And so they feel a bit jilted. But then the funny part was about all that is I sat back and I listened to it and I go, yep, I understand exactly where he's coming from. Put in the effort. You're not going to get the player. I understand that that sucks. But then it just brought me back to, well, why should we have access to him? You've brought a player in. You've done the right thing for the game. Stop compromising the draft. Get rid of father sons. Get rid of academies. Just support the draft. The more support clubs put into the younger programs, the better the quality player they're getting out.
Yep.
Just because you invest in that player doesn't mean you should always reap the reward. Like, the game has got to get better, not your club specifically.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Otherwise, we'll shift back to one day every club having an academy and whoever is the richest who invests the most will get the best players, and it's not a virtuous system. But look, I think there is still some chance that you guys get Mac Andrew. So just on that, he's a ruckman. Brody Grundy was one of the best players in his draft and slipped to 18. Tim English was about 18. Sean Darcy wasn't in the top 20. All of them the best ruck in the pool. So wouldn't surprise me to see him slip.
Yeah. I guess probably on Sam Wiedemann, for him, you'd probably say, it, you know, if Ben Brown's ahead of him and Tom McDonald's recaptured his form, it's time to go for him.
Yeah, probably.
But for Melbourne, I wouldn't be making that trade.
What gets a deal done for you? Chera and a future first? No, I'm not saying that trade happens, but I'm saying that type of trade where you get someone that can play best 22 football back.
That's probably overs for him. So I think probably with Sam, he's a pick 9, 6 years in the system. You know, the glimpses that he's shown, he's pretty handy. He does have a tendency to go missing. However, all you have to do is look at, you know, in, 2018, his patch of form was so good that they were willing to let Jesse Hogan go.
Yeah.
You know, so his best is seriously good. And if he hadn't got injured at the start of this year, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He most likely would still be in the team. And it'd be Tom McDonald or Ben Brown being talked about. So, you know, it's just kind of the way the opportunity fell, and unfortunately got injured at the wrong time. He got an opportunity in front of Ben Brown. He started to grab it and then just fell off the pace. Not saying that Ben Brown was much better when he came back in, but, you know, last few weeks he's looked very good as he's figured it out. I think for Melbourne we want to keep him.
Yeah.
And I think the deal is you know, given he's 6 years on the list, he's probably looking for the deal that gets him a free agency. So give him his 2 years and look, pay him market value. You know, he's a young key forward, AFL quality. So, you know, you're probably going to stump up, you know, 550 plus, 600 kind of area. And I'm okay with that. But if a club wants him, then for me, the trade probably has to value him, I don't know, first round pick, teens, somewhere in the teens.
Yeah, I was just looking at, I know Gold Coast are probably interested in him. They've been linked just because they're looking for a player at about that age to support playing with their Ben. They have pick 19 and pick 22. I think maybe it gets done for 19. I think for 19 and 22, then a future second goes back. That sort of feels about right, because you're assuming that a future second from Melbourne, or even a second from Melbourne this year, is at 34. So it could be 19 and 22 for 34 in Sam Wiedemann. That feels about right.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for him to go, but you ideally, as you said, give him 2 years and keep him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And look, that, to be honest, that 21 that you're talking about, I think that's their compo pick.
Yeah.
That's still not locked in stone.
Yeah, yeah, no, they might take it away. Yep.
And I think the AFL probably should give him the usage. Yeah. But anyway.
In that case, then they still have pick 22 and potentially a future to work out, like how to work out a deal. It could be pick 22 and a future second for Sam Wiedemann, a future third, something like that will get it done.
Yeah. But it's funny because we're going to probably talk about it a bit later when we get to St Kilda, but it's funny how Gold Coast 3 years ago, got rid of Jared Lyons. Now they're looking at Luke Dunstan. And then they got rid of Peter Wright last year, and now they're looking at Sam Wiedemann. Like, to me, honestly, like, you know, we talk about clubs being under pressure and coaches being under pressure and everything, but this sort of recruiting is what puts coaches under pressure.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, completely with you there, mate. North, I'll launch in. So Aaron Hall had a career best year, and I think that they'll sign him for one plus one with a games trigger. The big issue for him is form and age and injury. So I think one plus one is sort of good protection. He's not their long-term future anyway. This team's not going to have him in it when it's challenging again.
But they've got a few of these guys though. So it's like, you know,
Aaron Hall, Jack Siebel, and Luke McDonald. And Luke McDonald was injured at the start of the year. And Sean Attlee's also out of contract. Robbie Tarrant, all those guys. All back line. Josh Walker played a little bit of forward line, but yeah.
But they're all up there in age.
Yeah, like
it's interesting because that is the part of North Melbourne's list that will transition soon. But I think Aaron Hall gets another year. Zeeble gets another year. Josh Walker probably gets another year.
Yeah, Josh Walker gets another year. I mean, we were just talking about Hawthorn before. Potentially a good home for O'Brien. 26 years old would be North Melbourne. Get 3-4 years out of him in the back line. There'd probably be a role for him with some of these players getting a bit older. I think that I've seen Aiden Bonner play enough. He's out of contract as well in the back line to say that he's not going to make it as a back. I actually don't know whether they'll re-sign Bonner. He's an interesting one, but
he's all the athletic gifts in the world, and you know, just quite like it just hasn't quite come together for him, has it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching, and I mean this purely from an athletic nature. It would and a lack of natural football nous. It's like watching Mad Jack Dorr play as a midfielder, like as in big, strong, fast, athletic, doesn't know where the ball is going, can't read where the play is going, just doesn't seem to be fast enough around the ball to contribute as a mid. So they try to move him to an area where you can see it from behind the ball, which does work for a lot of players, but he's not there yet. So maybe he gets another year and they just keep him down back until he learns it. But I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to make it.
Yeah, look, I could see a year. He's just a perplexing one, really, isn't he? Robbie Tarrant, to be honest, if I was the Dogs, there would be a 1 year decent sized deal coming at Robbie Tarrant as an unrestricted free agent. I think North could let him go if they wanted to. I know that a lot of North faithful won't want to let go of such a loyal player for 14 years, but I guess at some point they got to start that transition from him because, I mean, obviously they brought in Ben McKay this year and that's a good thing. You've seen him really come on.
Yeah, he's had a good 2 years. Yep.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I guess the next step is obviously Robbie stepping out. Given the Dogs won't go after Talia, we expect. I think Tarrant fits, you know, for a team trying to have a crack now, who severely lack a second quality lockdown tall. But yeah, I mean, I think it's up to him really. He can re-sign with them. But I would, if I was them, I wouldn't probably be overpaying to keep him.
Yeah, I'm the same. I would keep him, but would never pay, and I would let him go if he said, "I'd love to go try win a flag somewhere."
Yeah,
yeah. He's at that.
Sean Attlee.
Sean Attlee, I think he falls into the same category as Aaron Hall. Not because of his injuries, he's actually played a ton of games, but because they're now playing the same role. So again, Zeeble, Luke McDonald, Sean Attlee, they're not young. They need to get some players through there that can learn the role and be playing it once these guys have retired. And I think that Sean Attlee's the one that makes way. So I think the Sean Attlee would be offered a new contract. Maybe he gets a gig at Richmond another like competitive club that will be looking for role players. He's played enough AFL games to understand structures, systems. He's reasonable at most things without being excellent at anything. Yep. And could just take a 1 or 2 year deal with a contending club as depth. Dumont's probably the most interesting one for me. Obviously a restricted free agent, and he'll probably be looked at quite heavily by both SA clubs, I'd imagine, to try to get him home, because he's quite a handy player, can play wing, like as a tough wing, which is a interesting role.
Yeah, that Mitch Robinson kind of role as a wingman. It's funny because I think he, you know, for Dumont, he probably wants to play in the guts. So wherever he goes, he probably is going to be wanting to play in the middle. So it probably pushes him towards one Adelaide club, being Adelaide.
Yeah.
If he's going home, if that. I wouldn't want to lose him. I think he's quite handy. However, North have a really stacked young midfield. So, you know, if it nets you a second round pick or something coming back the other way, it's probably not the worst thing. And he is a restricted free agent, so the compo is probably going to be a bit higher, given that he's, you know, you're expecting the contract to be reasonable.
Yeah, you'd imagine you get at least a second round pick for him. I never want to lose good players. He's 26, so he's got enough football in him to say that when North are good again, he could still be there. So that's why I'd want to keep him. But you've got other players. Yeah. If there are other free agents out there that you could go attract, that play different roles, and it might be worth doing and letting Dumont go.
Yeah, and the other thing is as well, now in the, you know, as we kind of push towards the end of this contract, the TV contract, and you know, clubs are going to have to start being quite careful with their cap management, and especially given the situation, you know, Collingwood and Sydney's now finding itself in as well. You know, signing a player like Dumont to, you know, a market or slightly above market rate, when you've got kids like Simpkin, Davies Uniac, Taron Thomas, these guys coming through as well, with Larky, Cam Zerha, you know, like, and even Ben McKay. It's like, when you've got guys like that coming through that are going to, you know, a lot of those guys will end out to be very decent players and on good money. So tying a 3-year deal up to a guy that's going to be 29 before your list is really starting to push up, you wouldn't want to be overpaying. This is where you can't overpay for players. Like, if he goes, then you can go and get Luke Dunstan.
Yeah.
If you want to. So,
Port, there's not many. And it's because we sort of know what they're doing. They're still going to be trying to contend next year. They finished top of the ladder last year, top two this year. And they'll be trying to contend again next year. So out of contract, Hamish Hartlett, Riley Bonner, Robbie Gray and Stephen Motlop. Gray said that he'll go on and the club's announced that he will, but he hasn't signed. Stephen Motlop, they'll sign him as well. I imagine that they'll give him 1 year. Hartlett and Bonner are the interesting ones. Bonner could attract interest from other clubs because he's young, plays an interesting role.
Has a booming kick as well.
Has a booming kick, but it's this very, I think we talked about this when we did the Port podcast, plays a similar role to a few other players in that team that have overtaken him. So it's just whether, I think that either they give Hartlett 1 year and keep him on the list for depth in that role, or they give Bonner 2 years and Hartlett retires.
I don't think Hartlett gets another year.
Okay.
Just from what I've seen of him this year, you know, he's been banged up a lot. I don't.
Well, really, I find this with a lot of even contending clubs as well. You want to play, who's your beta boy that plays for them?
Bergman.
Yeah, you want to play Bergman. Realistically, you want to play Bergman because he's young, can kick, and has all of the athleticism that Hartlett had when he was 20, before he had all his injuries. So
before his ACLs.
Yeah, like he had, and shoulders, like his glass shoulders as well. So he's had a lot of injuries in his career, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him end it.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't played since round 14.
Yeah, to be honest, that's the only thing I see with Robbie Gray as well. If Port win the flag, I think Robbie Gray retires.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I could see that.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. He's still got time and could still play another year or two, but with players at the very end of their career, he's in his 30s now, it's a pretty good way to go out, so it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, but with Hartlett, I think, you know, regardless, like if they win the flag, he probably makes the call himself, and then, or if, even if not, I think it's a conversation where, you know, he's 31 years old.
Yeah.
Hartlett. So.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think Hartlett's on his last legs now as well. Moving on to Richmond. Richmond's super interesting because they have two really interesting parts of their out of contract. Both have lots of players. First part is their out of contract mid to early 20s talls. Biggie Newen, Cal Coleman-Jones, Mabior Chol, Ryan Garthwaite, and Ivan Soldo. Now, I believe that Soldo he'll be signed. They're not going to let Soldo go. That'll just take a little bit of time to work through, unless it's already been worked through.
Garthwaite, I think, gets signed.
Yeah, I think he does. Maybe to a year or two, though. He hasn't looked excellent, and that's sort of always been the risk, but they don't have much depth there. So unless they find somebody else to play potentially that role, again, potentially an O'Brien type coming across for 2 years or something at a contender, as you said. Contenders can tend to. Man, that was a mouthful. Yeah, deal with role players better. Because they fit the structure, so maybe he will fit into like an intercepting third tall or something of that nature.
Yeah.
They want to re-sign Callum Coleman-Jones for sure.
Yeah.
And you'd imagine that they would want to sign Chol. But apparently, according to an article, it's a consensus that only one of Chol or Coleman-Jones will be there. So they must think that they're going to lose one of them to a rival club.
Yeah, but like the market is for Coleman Jones. I don't think there's a huge market for Chol.
Yeah.
Not saying their team can't take a chance. I mean, just thinking about it, the style of ruckman that he is, you know, with Paddy Ryder going around again, St Kilda probably could have been a landing spot for him, but if Paddy Ryder sounds like he's going to go around again, so takes that one out.
Coleman Jones is going to be the one that attracts the bigger offer from a rival club.
Yeah. So, like, if I was the Gold Coast and you got the option of throwing money at Coleman Jones or Weedman.
400 for 5 years. 4 years, 500 a year.
For Coleman Jones? Nah, to get him out of there, it'll cost you more.
Really? Yeah. That's probably true. Maybe 2 years on bigger money and then reassess. But I think he's probably the most at risk just because he's worth the most on the market, and he's the one you wouldn't want to overpay for to keep.
I actually would be willing for your future. I'd be willing to overpay.
I'm not able to. Don't ever pay for anyone.
He's got genuine scope to be a proper first ruck if needed, but also play as a forward ruck because he's got genuine forward craft. So I think that attracts a bit of extra value there. And so while it might be overpaying as a pure ruckman,
yep,
I think that you can overpay because he's not just a pure ruckman. And yeah, I guess it's a real challenge. But yeah, so Coleman Jones, obviously, I mean, if I was in the Gold Coast shoes, I'd be throwing money at him. I'd throw a decent, like a big contract at him, and you know, Richmond match or he comes to you. What's he going to cost in trade? Similar to Wiedemann.
Similar to Wiedemann, I would say. Yeah.
So
Wiedemann, for me,
teens pick.
Yeah. I think a late teens pick gets both of those deals done. If that's going to go that way. Dan Rioli had a bit of a form turnaround in the back half of the year. Otherwise, I thought maybe they would let him explore his opportunities, but I reckon he'll probably re-sign maybe 2 years to take him through to free agency.
And especially considering Basher Hooley's retired, you know, Rioli was playing in that role while Basher was out. So you certainly think that he would continue on for a two-year deal.
Yeah, and now the next bunch are like young out-of-contract players. They've already announced that Naish won't be getting another contract. So the other three players were Noah Cumberland, Sydney Stack, and Thompson Dow. I reckon given where the Tigers list is at, they give them all 2 years.
Yeah, Stack should get another contract for sure.
Yeah, he's been great. Yeah, he's been great.
Dow, he gets another contract, but it's kind of he's got to show something.
Yes.
I think the what I've seen of him, like it just hasn't convinced me either way. Like I don't think there's been enough exposure to really kind of determine what he could be.
Yep.
And Noah Cumberland, I think, you know, it's obviously hard for a small forward getting into Richmond's small forward lineup. So
I just think he's a 2 year player, which means he's had two COVID affected years. So yeah. I would give him at least a year to just let him have a season where he gets to play VFL or whatever it's called these days. Hopefully not VFL.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what I would be doing there. I mean, as you said, Sydney Stack deserves one, and I'm the same on Thompson Dow. I don't know. My gut says he might need some time. And even then, I don't know if he'll be a best 10 player in that team or if he'll be a role player in future.
Yeah, my gut says he's probably never... I don't think he'll be a best 10 player.
Yeah, that's sort of where... And I think that's where... That's always where you've got to be assessing with these types of players. And it's why you give him an extension because you think that he can be a best 22 role player because you don't want to not extend players that are going to be in your best 22. For sure you do. But he hasn't shown anything that makes me think that he's going to be a star of the club.
Yeah. But he could, yeah, like you said, he could be a role player. St Kilda's up next. You know, a couple of interesting ones. We've kind of got two groups. I mentioned Paddy Ryder's probably likely to get another deal. That makes sense. I would give him another go if he wants to keep going around. We saw the impact that him and Marshall together make for St Kilda. They make them a better side, significantly better. Dean Kent, I think he's probably won't get offered another contract, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think that he will. I mean, maybe, but I think that if he does, it's on low money.
Or a rookie deal.
I mean, he was best 22 at the end of the year. He gets 1 year.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's what'll most likely happen. They're going to lose a few people here. Dunstan, they've announced that they're not going to be offering a contract to. He's a restricted free agent. So to give you an idea... Again, it means that he's in the top 25% of their paid players this year. He played some exceptional football and was best on grounds in one or two games this year. and won't be offered another contract. So, I mean, what that says to me is multiple things. One, bringing in Crouch spelt the end of Dunstan. Like, you can't have two or three of that player because they already have multiple of that type of player on the most expensive players in your list. Yep. And also, Dunstan probably has a couple of opportunities in front of him on not high, but reasonable money to go elsewhere, and they'll be happy to take the pick, whatever it is.
Yep. Yeah, if that's the case and Dunstan wasn't happy with him, I'd force them into delisting him and then...
Yeah, I'd do the same. But I think that they'll get a second or third round pick for him.
Yeah. Yeah, probably third. I wouldn't imagine it would be much better than that. But he fit Carlton. Should go over there.
They've got a really weird section here. So just to go back over all the players in this 7 to 10 years out of contract, Jack Billings, Jack Loney, Luke Dunstan, Seb Ross. Those guys have been pretty much staples of their best 22 for 4 years. Maybe Loney's been in and out, but Dunstan, when he's been fit, Ross definitely, and Billings definitely. So I really don't know what they're going to do. Three restricted free agents says that they're losing three players of their most top 25 most paid if they go.
Yeah.
Which isn't surprising because of the contracts that they took on in the last few years. So they're going to have to shed them. If you have to keep them, which order are you keeping them in?
Billings, Dunstan, Ross and Loney, but they're not keeping Dunstan.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, to be honest, Loney, I was probably of the opinion he should have not been offered another contract last time.
He should have taken that Collingwood deal 2 years or 3 years ago, yeah. For sure. But yeah, I'm the same belief of you. I think they re-signed Billings.
Yeah.
He clearly has a role within that side. I think they re-signed Seb Ross on much less money. And unless there's a club that's earlier in their development that needs some players to play supporting roles and development roles, but I don't think that there is any club that I can think of that's ready for that type of player. So I'd re-sign those two, not offer a new contract to Loney, and I would have re-signed Dunstan, but I know that they're not going to.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with Seb Ross, I'd probably let him test the market, put a low deal in front of him. And
yeah, you know, three years, 300,000. He's the best 22 player.
It wouldn't even be 3 years. I think Seb Ross is almost 30, isn't he?
He's 10 years in the system, so what's that, 28?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe two years less money than he's been on for the last few years, but keep him round and he'll probably still be a best 22 player.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're hoping, that he stays best 22. I mean, yeah, so yeah, okay, yeah, 28 in 3 months. Yeah, I guess you're hoping he stays best 22, but I don't know. I guess, look, at the end of the day, it's my bias. I don't really rate him.
Yeah, same.
So it's fine. Sydney's got a huge list here. We've kind of got one...
Cap crunch, apparently.
Yeah, that's what keeps being reported. And, I mean, we're probably more inclined to believe it, given the reporting was pretty accurate last year on Collingwood.
Yeah, and saying that, I mean, we're all aware that we're still into the back end of Buddy's deal. So, and look...
And they're not allowed to smooth it. So that's the biggest thing, and this is when the AFL, you know, in their anger... when they did this, really, really made sure it hamstrung Sydney and other people that take restricted free agents. So the rule applies across the board to all restricted free agents. But Buddy's owed, I think, $2 million in his last 2 years. And I think it was like 1.1 and then 900. And the normally in a club, so, you know, a club could do what Collingwood did with Adam Treloar's deal and they keep back-ending and smoothing, so they extend the deal, move the money around to allow them to bring in other players, and they're not allowed to do that with Buddy's contract. So effectively, $1 million or 1/13 of their entire salary cap is being absorbed by Buddy at 34,
I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right, but a club might typically say, look, we'll offer you another year on lower money, and we'll smooth that out so that we can attract or retain players. And then if you retire, we'll pay you out anyway. And that would probably be their intention. But not able to do that means that they're probably going to lose some players.
So I guess probably start from the top. Luke Parker, I think, is an absolute must to re-sign, but he's not re-signed yet.
So Luke Parker re-signs. Luke Parker will be at Sydney next year. I'm very confident of that.
Okay, cool.
He's too experienced. He's a Sydney player through and through. I can't see him leaving.
I could see a club getting very creative if they've got cap space. A club
that's
quite wily, something like that has an Adrian Dodoro as a list manager.
Okay, maybe.
I would not be surprised to see that if the Essendon Football Club got linked to Luke Parker.
Okay.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, if the cap crunch is as real as it's meant to be, then someone's going to have to get underpaid. And, you know, a guy who's 11 years into his career at 28, 29 years old, he's got one last big deal in him. So he doesn't want to be taking the cut there. He'd rather the 4, 5, 6 year guys take it. So, anyway, so that's probably a must. Hewitt and Dawson.
Hewitt, I don't know what the market's like for him. I would re-sign him if it's not excellent. If somebody makes him an offer that nets you a second or third round pick, I'd let him probably go.
Yeah, okay. I'm probably inclined to try and keep him.
I reckon keep him on lower money. I just think that if he can get a bigger deal, he's a free agent. It makes sense probably for him, but I just don't think that he probably will.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think he's the best 22 player, so they're not going to let him go. Ben Ronk?
D-list.
Yep, agreed there. Probably the same with Matt Ling.
I think a few clubs apparently interested, but I don't think he's got it. So D-list.
We did mention Jordan Dawson before, sorry.
Jordan Dawson, there's been reports of a few clubs into him, but
unsurprisingly.
Yeah, a really good player. And one of the clubs that's been linked is Adelaide. It wouldn't surprise me if Adelaide go after a package to try to get Dill Stevens and Jordan Dawson for, say, pick 4.
Yeah.
Dill Stevens hasn't played much football in 2 years, so his value's dipped slightly. Dawson probably worth a late first, maybe a first.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon, pick 4, those two?
Oh, such a massive loss.
Of players, yeah, it is. But this is what a cap crunch does, is that Adelaide come along in a good cap position and say, Jordan Dawson, we'll give you $600,000 for 4 years. And Dill Stevens, we'll give you $400,000 for 2 years. And Sydney can't match that. If it's reported true, then they can't match it and keep Parker and keep these others.
Yeah. So, I think they just have to really prioritize and follow the priorities of the list. And because, you know, you got Sam Reed here. Sam Reed is, you know, the biggest enigma in football. When he's not injured, he's fantastic. And, you know, he has games where you sit there and your jaw drops. And then he's got games where he goes missing, unfortunately. He plays really well alongside Buddy, but, you know, he's just, I mean, what, he'd be like almost 30 now and he's...
Yeah, he'd be 30. He'd be 31 maybe. But you're right. So if we're looking down, there's a couple more players in this list just to mention all of the names. Hayden McLean, James Bell, Sam Wicks, Will Gould. Sam Wicks will re-sign. And Fox, I don't think there's a market for, and he plays a good role, so he'll re-sign. The players of interest for leaving, you said Luke Parker. Jordan Dawson will obviously be of value. Sam Reed to the Western Bulldogs, potentially. They've just lost a senior key forward, making a flag tilt. So potentially, I think that the Swans aren't in a flag position. They played really good football this year, but their list is tilted for a rebuild. So prioritize re-signing Jordan Dawson And if you have to let go of one of Jordan Dawson or Parker, lose Parker at 29, and try to keep
you. It's a big call. I would probably go, yeah, I'd probably be re-signing Parker, Dawson, Hewitt, and then McLean, Wicks, and then probably Stevens, then Bell, and then Gould in that order. I think the rest would be okay to.
I think they'll lose a few. So I think that Gould, hasn't played a game. Will probably try to seek a contract elsewhere. Stevens might get a better offer after 2 years to go home. Will probably entertain it. The others, maybe they have the cash to retain. Dawson's the one who's the biggest risk for me.
Yeah, and I also don't think they can let McLean go.
I don't think they can let McLean go either. I think he's their future. I think he's a really good forward.
Yeah, me too. He really impressed me actually this year. West Coast.
So the players out of contract that we want to talk about today, Jack Redden, Jared Brand, and Liam Duggan. Out of those three, probably Duggan.
Brander.
I reckon Duggan's the priority. Brander probably is the one you don't want to overpay for.
You can't overpay for. Well, yeah, I guess it. So it probably starts from how do you see that? Like, where is their list actually at?
Well, okay, then. So we'll go to the other four players: Josh Kennedy, Mark Hutchings, Nathan Vardy, Shannon Hearn. For me, West Coast can still win a flag, but they need to be smart about the way they manage their incoming players. If they think that they can win a flag, they re-sign Kennedy, Vardy, Hutchings, Hearn, all to single-year deals.
And probably Redden at 31.
And probably Redden. And they also try to re-sign Duggan. And I think that if you had to lose one in that squeeze, you lose Brander and you prioritize bringing in a player who's a bit more senior and ready to go. If you were to get Crouch and lose Liam Duggan for a pick, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I think there's a couple of players as free agents that you could potentially get that would replace his output. I have a feeling it's going to be really boring from West Coast.
Yeah.
I think most of those guys re-sign. Maybe Vardy doesn't.
Yeah, I would be disappointed if West Coast re-signs everyone. Is that too harsh? I just think that West Coast are just in, like, I actually don't think they can tilt again. I feel like, you know, they've crossed the precipice of where the age and the experience has slowed and it's starting to hurt.
The Geelong line.
Yeah. Originally the North Melbourne line, and now it's West Coast line, and then I think the next one is Geelong, obviously, after that, and the Hawthorn line. there's a few clubs that have done it, but I just think they're at the point now where, I mean, their list is going to be hard to transition because they gave up so much for Tim Kelly. But like you said, it doesn't matter because they won a flag. But, you know, you're looking through their list and you're thinking, okay, well, how do they start to transition? Well, they got to start it this year because that otherwise they're not going to, like, the cliff is going to be huge. It's going to be, it may not be the Geelong cliff that we're thinking it might be, but it's going to be a really, really big cliff. They just don't have, if you ride out their team in 3 years' time and take out all the guys, you know, 31 plus, there are some huge holes in their list that they're going to have to fill. How they fill them is going to be quite difficult because you're going to want to draft players. You're also not going to want to give up those picks to get good quality players into those positions. So the ability to regenerate is quite difficult. So look, if I'm them, I'm saying Shannon Hearn, it's up to you. Vardy, we're going to go find a younger ruck to come in. Hutchings, I'd probably be willing to let go. And JJK, I would probably be, again, it's up to you, mate. Like, you know, 14 years you've done the service. And if they did that, then Redden probably goes as well.
Yep.
And re-sign Brander and Duggan.
Yep, that sounds good to me. Last club, mate. We'll get this done in under an hour. Western Bulldogs, players out of contract. I don't think it's that difficult for me with Western Bulldogs. Ben Cavara and Lewis Young, I think they probably lose them both. Lewis Young probably gets an opportunity on another list.
I think they probably try and re-sign him, actually.
I think they do too, but I think he goes. I think he gets more money elsewhere and a slightly longer deal. Lipinski, Wallace, Steph Martin. Steph Martin should re-sign for a year. Was good early in the year. Mitch Wallace, super interesting. He's not really playing a heap of footy. And for a guy who's an unrestricted free agent, 11 years in the system, I would have thought he'd be getting some more games. So I don't know what they'll do with him.
Yeah, and especially I think he was a vice captain or something. Like he was not just a kind of run of the mill player. And at his best, he's a very, very handy player. So what is he? He's 28 now.
28, so. Turning 29 in 2 months, and he played 6 games this year.
Yeah. So I mean, look, like to another club, he offers the ability to play as an inside mid. Also can play as a pressure forward, probably wants to go back to being an inside mid, I'd imagine. There's a few clubs that could use him. He could be handy for Essendon.
It depends on whether Essendon are contending now.
Yeah.
It depends on where all of these clubs see themselves are at now. I think that Mitch Wallace re-signs with the Western Bulldogs, probably 2 years, not as much money.
I don't reckon they offer him another contract.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Leadership, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. If he does, it's a 1 year deal. I don't think, given he's played 6 games, and everything, I don't think he gets offered another deal. I think he'll be, looking for another club, and that's okay. Pat Lipinski, I think he's going to get offered a much better opportunity elsewhere. I think they want to re-sign him the most, but he's been fringe 22 in their side for most of the year. I can't remember how many games he's played this year.
Yeah, he's been in and out. I mean, who's the best club for him?
He's played 9 games. Look, he's... does he fit the best? That's a great question.
Is 2 right answers to this question.
2 right answers. I don't like that.
Maybe 3, but
To be honest, he'd actually fit the D's quite well, but I don't think we would give up for him.
And I don't think he will want to come to a club where he's potentially going to be in the same position.
I don't think he would. I don't think we got a lot of players like him. I think James Jordan is kind of filling that role at the moment.
Maybe. I think he goes to Hawthorn.
Yeah, the question is, do they want someone in that age bracket or a bit younger?
So what is he, 24? I think that they probably want someone in that age bracket. So the two teams I think could try him out is Collingwood and Hawthorn.
Yeah, I don't think Collingwood have the capital to go for him this year, given they're likely to squeeze another one. So yeah, Hawthorn. You're right. So
North's the other club. If this is just only including Victorian teams, obviously, I think that he would also fit any of the, like, he'd fit Gold Coast. He'd be best 22 there, clearly. He'd fit Fremantle's list build.
He'd fit Adelaide quite nicely, actually.
I think if it's any team that's bottom 8 and looking to rebuild.
He actually fits Port Adelaide quite well because he's different to every midfielder they've got.
Yeah, he does, but he's not going to get mid-time in there.
Oh, he won't. Yeah.
No, he won't. And it's not, look, it's not a problem if he doesn't want to play mid. It's fine. He could play a role.
He probably just wants to play
best. He probably just wants to play best 22 football. So it says to me that he goes to a bottom 6 club.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, like there's definitely some higher end clubs that have a role that he could fill. Obviously with increased competition, but yeah. I don't think they hold on to him and I think probably out of that list Lewis Young's the one that I would be pulling out the stops to keep.
Yeah.
So that's it, Johnny. We've covered them off. And it's kind of good to do some of the key out of contracts out of the way. It should make getting through the podcast later on a bit quicker as well. And we're starting to prep up for the draft at the moment. But it'd be lovely if we could get some under 19 champs going.
Yeah, I think they're hoping for a game between SA and WA. I think this weekend. So let's fingers crossed for the next couple of weekends. So fingers crossed for that. That's going to be huge. If they can get that going. But yeah, there's a few big things at this time of year. There's part of me that just wants to see more under-18s because of the lack of it this year. Other part of me just says, let's just see finals. the other part of me goes, well, I can't wait for a whole lot of horrible trade rumors to come out. So
they're already starting.
They are. Yeah, they can't be stopped as well. So look, it's an exciting time and we look forward to punching out a whole lot more podcasts over the next couple of weeks. But thanks again for listening, everyone. And I hope we've entertained you for another hour. And if you've got any questions, if you've got anything in particular that you want us to cover in the off season, do let us know. We're a little bit strapped for time still, but we will get through some stuff. It's actually one of the better times once the season dies down a little bit. It gives us time to do things that we like.
Well, usually I've already started my off season now, but for a change, Melbourne decided to make.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, mate, good luck. Is all we can thanks, say. Mate. Everyone's rooting for you. And thanks again for joining me. And look forward to joining you again very soon.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat to you soon.
If you constantly worry that the worst is going to happen, you're not alone. 1 in 4 Australians will experience anxiety. Know when anxiety is talking. Visit Beyond Blue to start a life beyond anxiety.